This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Australia, to Scott Maiman, CBS News. Australia's advantages and Australia's information. Critical to understand now that the world is in a competition with the People's Republic of China. I begin with a puzzling story. Scott can help me. There's a nickel boom worldwide expected over these next decades. BHP is forecasting, one of the big extractive services on the planet. Why? Because of electric vehicles. That's right. The demand will be fourfold for the next 30 years, is the prediction. That's good news for Australia, except here's the twist. The talk is of Chinese investors, which there's been warning now that Australia's tough talk, its government, is scaring off Chinese investors. Why not? Scott, I'm sure this is politics and it can be explained, but China's become very untrustworthy as a trading partner. Certainly allowing investors in suggests that you're vulnerable to Chinese secret stealing or other skullduggery. Are Chinese investors given wide berth in Australia, or are they welcome? What is the present thinking? Good evening to you.
G'day, John. Yeah, it's a big problem at the moment. Now, to set the scene, probably about 10 years ago, there was outcry about Australian property, and we're talking farming communities, being bought up by Chinese investors. And it left the question, well, what's left in Australia? And so new regimes were put in place. The foreign ownership of properties in Australia was called into question. There were ramifications from new legislation that was put in to pretty much quell the riot that was going on about the purchase by Chinese investors of all these properties. And now they've been limited to 10%, or there's got to be an investigation into who is behind these Chinese investments. Now, it has not sit well with the Chinese at all. And of course, the latest problems we're experiencing with China at the moment, well, that doesn't help anything either. So the problem here is Australia has the world's largest deposits of nickel, and Chinese investors want this large investment of nickel in Australia. But again, it's got to go through the foreign ownership guidelines Australia put in 10 years ago. So this is the problem. This is the what's being seen as Australia dictating who can and can't buy property.
And the Albanese government, is it suspicious of China in some new fashion? China's been bullying Australia for several years, but that was the Morrison government. Does the Albanese government speak of China negatively or positively? Can you tell, Scott?
We're getting mixed feelings, mixed messages from the Australian government. In one hand, we'll hear from the Prime Minister and some of the senior executives of the cabinet who will talk about China in the negative, how they're bullies, how they're not going to tell us how we do our affairs globally and what's happening with the Pacific region and our alliance with the US. But then you will hear from our foreign minister who says China is our friend. We are working on establishing better trade tariff agreements with China. We are getting mixed messages from Australia. So from the government, the officials who are dealing with all of this, it depends when you wake up, what person you're speaking with to get various disagreements as to whether we're in bed with China or whether we're about to go to war with China. It is ridiculous.
All right, let's talk about another competition. Far away, but this turns out to be something significant. The U.S. FDA has approved A2 milk from New Zealand. That's now cleared for sale in the U.S. Do you drink Kiwi milk, New Zealand milk? Do you drink Australian milk? Is there a competition between these two dairy providers?
We don't drink the New Zealand milk in Australia. In fact, we have our own variation of A2 milk. Now, in Australia, A2 milk is being marketed as being better than the regular milk, the vitamin D milk that we would normally get. And that's the popular one in Australia. We have our own areas. We have our own milking sheds. We do our own. So this is a major boost for New Zealand to send its milk to the United States. But the thing is, though, in the US, there is a major significant shortage of baby formula. And this is where the A2 milk comes in. This A2 produce is really good for infants. In Australia, though, we frown on A2 milk because at the end of the day, people say it's nothing more than the regular vitamin D milk we get, but it's a double the price. So the price is what plays into what we drink here in Australia.
I read there is a shortage of amoxicillin, which is a very valuable when you have small children, especially for earaches. Now, there's amoxicillin shortage everywhere, so I don't blame Australia, but every once in a while, it becomes clear, Scott, that we haven't cleared up our supply chains. There's a shortage in the U.S., there's a shortage in Australia, and Canada also reporting shortages. So we'll keep an eye on this story because it's strange that it pops out. Now, there is one thing that's positive about the relations between Australia and the U.S. Apparently, we've been doing burn treatment all wrong, and you've been doing it right. What do you do?
Yeah, well, basically, if you suffer a burn, we're not talking major burns. We're talking scarring on your arm or your leg. Here in Australia, we run cold water over the wound for at least 20 minutes. And that's been found to significantly reduce the amount of the burn, the scarring that happens, and the bubbling effect of what happens with the wound. It cools down that burn. In the United States, you've only been doing it for 5 minutes. Now, apparently, U.S. authorities have realized, wow, there is a significant difference in running between 5 and 20 minutes of cold water on the wound, and they want specialists from Australia to come and visit the United States, not just to show exactly how the treatment of burns is done, but also to overcome some of the fears of, well, there's a change in the procedure. Oh, no, we can't do that. So we're hoping that Australians and the U.S. will mix together and overcome this dilemma at the moment. But, yeah, if you do suffer a burn, the word is run that wound under cold water for at least 20 minutes.
La Nina, still with you, still raining, but you've had other strange weather. It's springtime. It's springtime in Australia, right? So what is this report of snow? Where?
Not far from where I am in the national capital, Canberra. Probably just a 30-minute drive from where I am. It's been snowing, and it's unseasonal. This is November. We are not supposed to be getting snow in November, but it's been bumper enough. We're going into our summer period soon, and it snowed so much that the authorities reckon that snow may actually stay over the snow areas through the summertime. It may not melt away. And, of course, this is all to do with the climate change. It's got to do with all the La Nina events we've had. We had another flooding earlier this week. Terrible story, John. Two people drowned in this latest flooding. We are just hoping that we will eventually see La Nina go away, as they're predicting a little bit earlier than what they said. So perhaps next month we'll see an end to La Nina, the third one in a row.
Finally, 30 seconds. Melbourne is back. The high-end restaurants are open. People are enjoying themselves. What is Melbourne Race Day? What happens? We have 30 seconds.
We call it the Melbourne Cup, affectionately, the race that stops the nation. Everybody stops at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday, the 1st November of the year, to watch all these horses, 22, 23 of them, run this course. It's called the Melbourne Cup. It is the richest horse race in Australia, where everybody stops. You could be working, you could be up on the line fixing a power pole, whatever the case, you stop and listen to this race. It's the biggest racing event in Australia's history. It's been going for so many years now.
Scott Maimon, CBS News in Australia. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.